Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. So good. Amen. Put your hands together for Melissa. She did a great job. So good. I love that about Expression Church. We are not here to hold the platform. This is a place of privilege, not a right. Amen. And our vision is to raise and empower the believers in Christ. Each one of you have a unique plan, unique purpose. You were created in a unique way, and God breathed into you because He knows that He can use you for His kingdom. Amen. And it's good to be part of a church that raises people, empowers people, equips people to be all that Jesus has created us to do. Hallelujah. And that's why we're calling it Be Bold this year. The theme is Be Bold. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Be bold. I want to open up soon from scriptures, but just give you a bit of introduction on being bold. We started off last week. It's a 5-week series. We started off last week with be bold. That means first thing is bold influence. Hallelujah. God wants to have a bold influence in our community, in the world we live in. Whatever world you live in, be bold and be a bold influence. Today, I want to talk about bold identity. And next week, Dan Ogle, he's going to talk about bold faith. Week after that, Pastor Don's going to talk about bold resolution. And then I'm going to come back and conclude the series on bold prayers. Hallelujah. And we took this series on Be Bold from the book of Daniel. And we are not doing an expositional teaching, although I like to do that once a year in the church. Because it's good for the church, together as a church on a Sunday morning, to go through scriptures verse by verse. Amen. But this series, we are doing a topical series. So we're going to pick on a few things, and we're particularly focusing on Daniel chapter 1 to Daniel chapter 6. And it's a fascinating story. So I want to encourage you to read this in your devotion times. And Connect Groups are, they're going through this series in Connect Groups to talk a little bit more on it. Pray and bless one another. I also want to say, invest in a good Bible. Please. We live in a digital world where everything is digitalized. But people don't know where Zechariah is in the Bible. Is there a book called Zechariah? Yes, there is a book called Zechariah. When I was working at Bible College, I was being a bit cheeky with a student. I said, open your Bible to Hezekiah chapter 1, verse 6. And oh my gosh, this lecturer is asking me to open my Bible to Hezekiah. There is no Hezekiah in the Bible. It's important for us to read. Well, there is a character called Hezekiah, by the way, in the Bible. But I want to encourage you, invest in a Bible. Learn to read the Word of God. Because my people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible teaches us. Today we are under attack. We are under attack by the devil. He has a strategy. His strategy is in John 10:10. His strategy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the strategy of the devil. He wants to make sure that he will steal your joy. He will kill your peace and destroy your destiny. He's not sitting there comfortable. He is busy with his agents. We call them demons. And he knows how he wants to fight you, not with weapons of war, as in guns and knives and bombs, but the way he will fight us with our thoughts. And there is a huge attack on our identity. Today, the world, we are living in a confused world. There's a great attack on our identity. And Satan wants to steal our true identity that we have in God. Who God created us to be. Satan wants to hide your identity. He wants to diminish your identity. He wants to confuse your identity. Satan doesn't want you to know who God made you to be. He doesn't want you to know the power you have in you as a son and a daughter of God. Hallelujah. Satan is not powerful as God, but Satan can distort, pervert, and destroy what God created us to be. Amen. And he used a number of tools to destroy us. And I want to show you those soon. But I want, if you're in this place where you see, when you lose your identity, then you will lose your peace. You will lose your purpose. You will lose your joy. And I want to say in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 6, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Church, I want you to understand this. This is not fairy tale. This is the most powerful, anointed, living word of God. Now, when you apply this word, you will come alive. I wish I had a knife, not that I carry a knife, but a knife is dangerous, it's lethal. But a knife sitting on a shelf is useless. But when you use the knife to cut some veggies, you know the effect of that knife. Or if you're like me, a good steak, hallelujah. Oh, anyway. That's called self-indulgence. Anyway, so the word of God is like the knife. If you read your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and he's saying, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Because you're under attack, put on the armor of God. Don't let the devil, don't let the world steal, kill, and destroy your identity and the purchase by which God has bought you. Don't allow the devil to steal that off you. Put on the armor of God. There are all these defenses, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, all those things. But then he says, and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sword of the Spirit, sorry, which is the word of God. That's the only offense. The only way you can fight the devil is with the word of God. So, invest in a good Bible. Last days, we will be attacked. And we are living in last days. I am so grateful. I want to encourage you this. I watched the Waitangi service online on Waitangi grounds. I watched the entire 1 hour 40 minutes or 1 hour 30 minutes. My prayer for this nation, you have to understand this. I come from a nation where we are deceived. I grew up in a nation where we're deceived. There are so many gods, you don't know which god to pick. But I mean, when I grew up, you have to understand, I grew up in a nation where everything is a god. Even this microphone will become a god. And when we're growing up, we were taught that New Zealand is a Christian nation. I thought, wow. And then, you know, I'm thinking as I was not in this country, and I thought, man, these guys have a city called Christ Church. It's named after God. How cool is that? And then being here, I've lived half my life here now, 22, 23 years I've lived here. And my passion is, God, that you will raise a standard. And when I was watching this the service online, I watched it more particularly because the guy that gave the message, he brought a word. His name is Dr. Alistair Rees. He was my lecturer at Bible College, and he taught me hermeneutics. And so he spoke, and all the dignitaries sitting there. And I want to say, for the whole 1 hour, 20 minutes, it was scriptures being read. Scriptures being read. Our prime minister got up and he spoke from Corinthians about being in unity and whatnot. There's scriptures being read. And I'm going, we are praying this. Revival nights, that's what we pray. God, let your name be lifted up. Hallelujah. Let your name be lifted up. I know some of us Christians, we are very cynical, but I'm asking you, he is faithful for the work that he started. And he's faithful to complete the work. And I'm so excited about that. So before I get into it, I want you to watch the screens for this testimony. It's a testimony in how God touched this particular individual. You will see it on the screen, and then I'll get into the word. Thank you.
Good morning, church. This is my testimony. I was brought up in church and I stopped going to church in my teens and started living in the world, partying, having a good time, hanging out with friends. I forgot about church, forgot about whatever was taught at church. I just wanted to have a good time. I met my husband and I got married a Muslim. I publicly rejected Jesus as the Son of God, as one of the things we needed to do to become Muslim. And then life for about 7 years was pretty okay, not without its challenges. Within that 7 years of marriage, things started getting difficult. My life started unraveling. I think it was with my grandmother's death that I started questioning where I was going to go after death. I was conflicted internally, so there was this fight within me. So I went to bed at night, and in my sleep was Sunday school hymns they were playing, but outwardly, during the day I was living as a Muslim. The internal conflict became so bad that I felt I needed to do something to change my life. I then one day reached out to my aunt, who was a Christian, born-again Christian, and I asked her to take me to church with her. She picked me up. I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't tell my husband. And I went to church, and it was there that I came face to face with Jesus. After that, life didn't become any easier. In fact, it became more difficult. I had to go home and face my family, my husband's family. And that evening, I felt such peace. I was totally unburdened, but I had to face a man who didn't understand who Jesus was. He actually took me and physically held me by my neck, my throat. I thought I was going to die that night. He held me up against the wall, and I remember just closing my eyes and saying, Jesus, please help me. And then he let me go, but he was devastated. 3 years after that, it's been tough, but in that, all of that, Jesus was my saving grace. He kept me strong. He made me bold. Today I can witness to his goodness. Today I can tell others of how he gave me peace in that time, because it was an easy journey. I saw both my kids come to the Lord. Even their dad came to know Jesus. Even people around me could see the change in me. So today I'm glad that I belong to him. Today I'm glad that I know in the challenges in the world we face adversity, but he always keeps me strong. And that's my testimony.
Amen. So, Father, as we break open your word, speak to us, we pray. Lord, that we are not just challenged, but we are changed on the inside and become more like you, in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great testimony. Hallelujah. God is in the business of transforming lives. Isn't God good? So, we're talking bold identity. You know, we all have an identity. You know, people look at me and they can, you know, if you don't know me, you look at me and go, oh yeah, I know, maybe he's Indian, Sri Lankan or something. I'm an Aborigine. Lord, forgive them. I'm like, you know what you see, you know. So identity is very important. And identity comes by your name. Identity comes by what you do. Identity, I mean, we think of names like Nelson Mandela. We know there's an identity there. We think of Gandhi. We think of Mother Teresa. We think of some great people. We also can think of some people that have Pablo Escobar. When we talk about him, you know, oh, I know what he did. You know, so names have a different thing, right? And when I say Peter Pirimala, you think of gentle. I have no idea why you guys are laughing. That's very hurtful. Now, you know, I asked Cara this morning. I said, "Hey, when you think of me, what do you think of me?" She goes, "Strong, leadership. That's the nice things." I said, "Okay, you know." But identity is very important, and identity plays a key role in our behavior. Amen. Identity plays a key role in our behavior, and I've been called different names, and I think each one of us have been called names when you're growing up in school. You know, maybe you were called, I don't know what names you got called. I can vouch this. Unfortunately, I never let people call me names because my testimony in school was very bad. And so I'm not proud to say this, but I was a bully at school, so people were scared to call me names, but I called a lot of names, which I made people cry at school. So I'm one of those guys. If you were ever bullied, it's one. But please don't put that on me now today, okay? I am cleansed, redeemed. Amen. That's good. That's good. But identity, I mean, I've been called names. I'm telling you, I've been called names with my ethnicity. I've been called a cheeky darky. I've been called, hey, black fellow, go back to your country. I'm just walking with my wife at the mount, and somebody winds the window down and go, black fellow, go back to your country. And when I worked at a Bible college, I had a student older than me, and you have to understand, I was in my late 20s, and I'm teaching from the Bible at a Bible college. I had an older gentleman who moved here from Netherlands. He had a very strong Dutch accent because he just moved, arrived, not born here. And then and in class, he always had issues with me. He would sit there and he would literally stare at me. And I was kind of going, what's wrong with you, dude? You know, why are you staring at me? And he would stare. And we lived on campus, so the students thought they can come in anytime and knock on a door and ask for help. But this one particular night when Silvana, she was a newborn, I'm home, Cara was home, I had a knock on the door, and this gentleman comes, the Dutch guy comes, and he knocks on the door, and he's pretty furious. I could see the body language. And in his Dutch way of speaking, he said, started calling me names. You know, he was like, "You're this. You are manipulative. I don't like the way you teach and all that." And I'm kind of going, "Yeah, sure. That's all just superficial. What's really going on the inside?" And then he basically said he doesn't like me. I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Two reasons. Number one, I'm Indian, and I'm not joking. It's truth. Number two, that I'm younger than him." And so I said, "Well, tough cookies. Because if I was Michael Jackson, I would change myself. I'm not. So either you get used to it or you repent." And so there's the pressure there. And when we were pastoring in Christchurch, I had a gentleman who came and told me, "Peter," he took me out for a coffee. I love coffee. Just a plug in. And I like my steak, to plug in. But he took me out for coffee and we sat down, and I won't name names, but I pray if he's watching it, I pray that his heart is healed from all this nonsense. But he called me and he said, "Hey, Peter, you know that you don't belong here." And I said, "What? Why?" I said, "You sure you know why you don't belong here?" I said, "What?" And he goes, "Why are you saying?" And I played dumb. I knew why what he's saying, because the church I was pastoring, when we got there, I was the only dark skin. There was a token one Maori guy and a couple who were Singaporean Chinese, that's it. But I was the only dark skin in a sea of 500 people. And so he said, "You don't belong here." I said, "Why?" And of course, because of my skin color, and because I'm talking identity. Amen. All right? I don't want you to feel sorry for me and get angry about these guys. No, 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 no. God's redeemed us all. All right? So in the end, I told the elders, because I told the guy, I said, "Look, you know, this is how God made me. Either you get used to it or get lost. You know? I can't do anything about that." And sadly, he did get lost. He left the church. He left the church. He went to another church. And I know the church is going to. So I keep an eye on him, you know. Because if I'm God, I would flush him down the toilet. You know. Thank God I'm not God, you know. But you see, there's identity. I'm sure you've been called names. You've been called either you are lazy, you are an idiot, you're a fool, you're good for nothing. You're a fatso, you are a tiny midget, your nose is big, your hair is weird, your head is weird. You're called names. Names are important. God called names. God changed names. Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter. There are names that God called, and people call themselves names when they identify with issues. Where Naomi means the pleasant one in the book of Ruth. Naomi means the pleasant one, but when she went out into Moab, and as she was coming back into Jerusalem, Judah, yeah, I forgot the story. Where was she was coming back into, you know? And I do know my Bible anyway. It was coming back to, and she said, "Hey, look, 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 it's Naomi, it's Naomi, it's Clara, it's Nathan. Nathan's playing video games on his phone." I'm kidding, you know? "It's Nathan, it's, I know. Ooh. I just picked on him because he was on his phone. And I said, he's playing video games. And he sticks his phone out like this." Just a bit of godly character coming out, you know. And my point being, yes, Nathan's coming back. Clara's coming back. And he goes, "Hey, it's Clara coming back." But Naomi says, "Don't call me the pleasant one. Call me Mara because I'm bitter." Names bring identity. So here we are in the book of Daniel, and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them in the Bible, but these guys had to navigate in a culture that was not familiar to them. They've been thrown in a culture where a lot of things changed, but they had to navigate, they had to live in Babylon and continue to navigate while being in Babylon. They looked like Babylonians, they were dressed like Babylonians, they had their names called as a Babylonian name, and I want to get into that soon, but still they did not give their identity to Babylon. Last week we established that we have a Babylonian spirit. The Babylonian spirit is the worldly spirit. We live in a Babylonian spirit. We have a Babylonian spirit. That is a worldly spirit. And we are not to operate with that. And Babylon means confusion. And our world is confused. Amen. It's attacking. The devil is attacking our identity. Now children are born and there's teaching in school. Hey, are you a guy or a girl? Hey, take time to think about it. No rush. No, we know what happened. We are under attack. We know who we are made. We look at a baby and go, yeah, that's a boy or that's a girl. There's no conversation in between. Now we're giving them choice. We live in this culture of confusion. Anybody with me? We live in a culture. And Daniel had to navigate this. He had a significant influence in his time. But he walked his faith without compromising. Amen. And he never gave up on his identity in who he was in God. See, God called us to influence our culture. Amen. Now, we may be dressed in a certain way, but you see, I want to say, I grew up in a very traditional church, an Anglican church, very traditional, high Anglican, and you've got to wear certain clothes, and if not, you're not holy. And I wrote this, as I was thinking about it, I wrote this down. I said, our reverence to God is more important than our relevance to the world. Our reverence to God is more important than our relevance to the world. We so want to be relevant to the world that we are actually moving away from the identity, moving away in the power of God. And it's important. It's not how you dress. You may have a white clothes, but your heart is dark because God sees the heart. Come on. Most of us can give good Christian smiles. We can do good Christian kisses. We can pretend, but God sees the heart. You may wear white. Somebody asked me, hey, where's your collar? I don't have a collar. But what I have is a calling. You have a calling. To shine the light of God, to shine, to be the salt in the earth, wherever you are from Monday to Sunday. Amen. So Daniel had to navigate. I want to show you this in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Let's pick it up. Young men in whom there was no blemish. The king ordered few men to be picked from these young boys, Jewish boys, to be picked. So young men in whom there was no blemish, but looking good, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understanding, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a very clever king. He was a very clever king. He recognized, if I can get them educated, 3 years of literature, training, equipping, vocabulary, clothing, and whatnot, they will change to be like Babylonians. And I think our universities are doing that. Many Christian families, we understand when your kids go to university, if they leave home and go to university, there's a big problem because you brought them up in God's ways and they go to university and they're like, whoa, this is a world we've never heard of. And they lose their identity and the education they have on creation and, 4,000, 5,000 million years ago. And, there is a Big Bang theory. There is, God didn't create man and woman. There was Adam and Steve. And there's so many confusions around. So they lose their faith. So Nebuchadnezzar knew 3 years, if he can educate them, train them, give them the food and the wine, and then they can be transformed as worldly people. And look what he did. And now from among those, the sons of Judah were, verse 6, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names, and he gave, look at that, he's changing their names. As Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach and to Azariah, Abednego. See, that today the culture, the world we live in, wants to change our names, give you a name, and give you an identity that is not truly you. You're a loser. Look at you. You are, I don't want to look at anybody, but I'm not looking at you necessarily when I'm saying this, but this is the world. So I'm playing the devil's advocate today, but look at you. I'll look at you and go, you know, you're a loser. You know, you look at you, you're in your whatever age you are, because if I tell her age, she's going to kick me later on. You know, whatever age you are, you should have this, you should have that. You're a loser, you're a fool, you're an idiot. You wasted your life. You are good for nothing. And we start believing that. Failure, you're a failure. And you start begin to think and act like a failure. And that's how the devil will attack us. Today, the culture, the schools, the universities, or even at workplaces, they want to rename us, they want to reconfigure us, and they want to recalibrate us. There is an attack on our identity. When you know who you are in God, doesn't matter what they call you, you will stand strong. Come on, somebody. When you know who you are in God, if they call you cheeky darky or a black man, go back to your country, you know that you are called by God, anointed by God, washed by the blood of Jesus, that He knows you by name. So you stand in that calling, not that you will not be discouraged, not that you will not experience rejection. Yes, you will experience all that, but you know how to bounce back into the truth of who God called you when you come under the anointing and the authority of His word. Where I come from, more than your name, they put their title of their profession. Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Pirimala. I've got a doctor in my house too, my sister, but we don't do that. But, hi, I'm lawyer so-and-so. I'm an engineer so-and-so. I'm a plumber so-and-so. I'm a teacher so. Your identity is not in what you do. Come on, somebody. Your identity is in who God called you to be. Hi, I'm a boxer. We used to have a boxer. He comes, he watches us. Hi, Monty. He watches us online, and he was telling me how he enjoyed last week's sermon. But Monty doesn't go, hi, I'm Boxer Monty. Hi, I'm a cheeky, doggy Indian. No, I've got bachelor's in commerce. Hi, what do you call me? Accountant? Not that I held any. Hi, I'm Accountant Peter. No. Hi, I'm Pastor Peter. No, I'm Peter, and this is what I do. See, the world wants to put you into something, and it's very difficult. And I'll say a couple of stories. I'm getting into the word, but I'll share this. I was at a party. Now, we moved to Christchurch from Tauranga with a newborn baby, and my wife decided, I want to go see my mom and dad, who lived on the Kapiti Coast. So, Cara went to Kapiti Coast. This is 2 weeks us being in Christchurch. And Cara went away. There was a friend of mine, Christian guy. He said, hey, come with us. We're going to a party. It's a Christian mate who's flat warming. I had no idea what I'm doing in Christchurch. No wife, no child. Only one child. If you got only one child, man, that's heaven. You got three children, you got no life. Yeah. And so so we went to this party. And what I didn't realize is it's a theme party, dress-up party, young people. And I rocked up in just a T-shirt, jeans. And when I walked there, I saw Xena, the princess warrior. And Xena had hardly any clothes. And Xena and all our friends were fully drunk. And the guy that was hosting the party is absolutely drunk, like a skunk. And he's like, hey, welcome. So he would come down. Hey, welcome, what's your name? Hey, welcome, what's your name? There were four of us. And he's like, hey, man, welcome. What's your name, bro? You know, he's doing all this stuff. And I'm going, and the next question after what's your name is, what do you do for a living? And I'm going, I don't want to tell him what I do for a living. If I tell him what I do for a living, he's going to mock me. So there's a battle within me now. I said, Jesus, this is your fault. It's my wife's fault. She left me. for a weekend. Actually, it's a parent's fault for living in Capri Coast. And so this guy came to me. And he shook my hand. And I was going, I don't want to tell him what I do. And so he's fully drunk. And they're telling, oh, I'm this. I'm the fourth guy. And he goes, what do you do? He said, what's your name? I said, I'm Peter. What do you do? I said, God, can I tell him I'm a teacher? Because I teach the word of God. See, we rationalize. Don't rationalize with the world. And God told me, if you deny me, I will deny you. And I said to God, I don't want to hear you. So, that's a joke, by the way. And so I shook my hand and he goes to me, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He goes, what? I said, I'm a pastor. And he goes, guys, this is no joke, no exaggeration. There was vomit everywhere. This was a bad party. Okay? And I don't even know how I ended up in there. Anyway, and so they go, guys, come here. We got a bleeping pastor in our midst. I'm using the word bleeping. He used more juicy words. And he used so many F words, I was getting confused what F word I should use now. Father forgive them or Father forgive them, you know? So you see, what I'm saying, yes, you will be attacked, but don't lose your identity. Don't lose your identity. And so he called these names to these people, but they had to keep their identity. And we look at these guys, and I want to show you, because your name brings your identity, and it's not to do with your culture, but the world, the Babylon spirit, wants to destroy your identity. It wants to compromise your identity. It wants to label us. And it's very important to recognize that we are made in God. Amen. So I want to talk on these things. Daniel means, it's on the screen, Daniel means God is my judge. What a strong name. Are there any Daniels in the house? Yo. Yeah. I just saw him nodding off, so I had to say something. No. Just kidding. You know, because they clothed him, they gave him food, they're trying to change his identity, and he's called Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar means Baal, or God of fertility and rain, or lady, protect the king. So Daniel means God is my judge. Now Daniel means lady, protect the king. There's a gender confusion right back then. Amen. If you are Christians for 50 years and you think gender confusion is the problem now, no. It's way back from then. And look at this, Hananiah, God has been gracious. Shadrach means I am afraid of God. Wow. How come many Christians who call themselves Christians but are afraid of God? The world will name names. Loser. I'm picking on them. Anyone that sits in the front, I pick on them. Poor Nelikshan last week. That's why he's not sitting in the front. He's sitting with his wife where he should belong. Yes. My eyes are on you. And so he says, God has been gracious to me, Hananiah, Shadrach. The Babylonian name means I'm afraid of God. Mishael, who is like our God? Hallelujah. Nobody's like our God. It gives us confidence because there's no one like our God. And we serve a mighty God. Meshach means I'm despised. Now you have to understand, these young boys have already lost. They have an identity crisis. A lot of us who come from other countries come here. I'm an immigrant. You come in here, you lose your identity. What am I? Am I an Indian? Am I a Kiwi? Am I this? Am I this? You know, am I a Quindian? Half Indian, half Kiwi. My three kids are Quindians. So they do this and this. You know? So there's a gen. So there's they're despised because already, you know, I don't know who I am, and then you're giving me a new name. But wait a minute, I think I'm called by God, but you're calling me, I am despised. I think I'm called by God, but you're calling me, I'm a loser. I think I'm called by God, but my lecturer says that I'm useless. There's a confusion. There's a confusion. And I believe there are so many of us. I'm not just talking to 18-year-olds or 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds or 13-year-olds. I'm talking to some of us, or some of you in your 60s, 70s, 50s, and you still hold on to the pain of those names that are called back then. I am despised, humiliated, from confidence to cowardice spirit. Spirit of Babylon, today culture always tries to reverse the redemptive work of Christ in us. Today's world will always reverse the redemptive work of Christ in you. You were bought with the precious blood of God, and the devil will say, you have no hope, no future, no life. This is your life. Misery, pain, you name it. That's your life. And guess what the devil is doing? He's stealing, he's killing, and he's destroying. But I want to tell you the second part of that verse. It says, but I have come to give you life, and life in abundance. Christ has come to give you life, and life in abundance. Full of peace, full of joy, full of grace, full of laughter, full of, yes, we will struggle in this world, but don't give your joy away. Don't give your joy away. If you are sick, don't give your joy away. If you have financial problems, don't give your joy away. Why? The joy of the Lord is my strength. My identity doesn't come by who I married. It comes because of who I am in Christ. My identity doesn't come because what I drive. My identity comes. It doesn't matter what I drive. I am a more child of the Most High God. My identity doesn't come in what I wear. I tell you, if I wear like this in India and preach, I am not a Christian. Seriously, I'm not a Christian. If I go preach in India like a t-shirt and jeans, you're not a Christian. And you're not worthy to preach the word of God. How many of you believe that Elias did a great job this morning? Come on, give him a hand. This is the first time he emceed. And I thought he did an incredible job. Incredible job. And he's been in this church for a year. And I won't steal the story, but one of the things, his wife is sitting there, he's sitting here. There's a problem in this church, you know? Sit with your wife and her husband. He was not allowed to serve in his church to be on the door. He was not allowed to be on the door because he didn't wear a tie. So, all of us are in hell right now because we don't wear a suit. And identity doesn't come with what we wear. But at the same time, please wear decent clothes. Please do. Don't do Lord Riders where your jeans is here. It's supposed to be here. And your undies are supposed to be here, not down there or up there, you know. No. Dress up a bit decent. But a dress up doesn't make us holy. Our Christian conversation doesn't make us holy. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. No, that won't make us holy. What makes us holy is He is holy. Hallelujah. He is holy. And the last name is Azariah, means helped by God. And Abednego means Nebo, being the Babylonian god of wisdom. What is the Babylonian wisdom? The worldly wisdom. We are not to operate. James, in the book of James, he talks about two wisdoms, godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. Christians are moving into godly, worldly wisdom. We can't. We either move or walk in godly wisdom or we walk in worldly wisdom. We can't have two together. They can't go two together. So I put this together. This is what I wrote are saying, what happens if I mash these four names? Four names. The meaning of these four names. What happens if I mash the meaning of the four names given, the Hebrew names given by God? This is how it sounds like. This is what I've written. It sounds like this. Four names put together their meanings in the Hebrew meaning of those names. Because God is my judge. Can I say you are God is your judge? Yes, you and I live in grace, but don't abuse grace. Don't abuse grace. Don't abuse grace. Our God will one day judge us. Because God is my judge, I fear his name. Hallelujah. It's a healthy fear. I asked my youngest son, when you hear my name, Dad, what do you think of Leo? Leo goes, scary. When you're grumpy, that is. Otherwise, you're a funny guy. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, there's a healthy fear in him. I fear his name. I am called to please him. God is gracious to me in spite of my sinful nature, my selfishness, my unbelief, my pride, my greed, my shame, my guilt, and the condemnation I'm in. Who is like my God, who cleanses me from my sins, gives me a new identity, hope, purpose, and a future. And from this day on, God be my help in my mind, my body, and my spirit, and I choose to live this life for you. See, when I read the word, I got purpose. My confidence comes from God. So read the word. So then I thought, well, how about I mash the four Babylonian names together, the meanings, and this is how I put it. Sin brings confusion. That's the first thing sin does. Puts an unhealthy fear of God in us. And I'm removed from the right standing in God. And moved from my place of confidence in God into a place of humiliation. And puts within me a cowardice spirit. And I serve with the wisdom of the world than rather than faith. I think when we look around, I want to ask yourselves today, what spirit are you operating with? What spirit is motivating? What's propelling you on the inside? Is it God or is it the world? Whose identity are you walking in? God does not hold your sin against you when you repent and give your heart to God. He will wash you and cleanse you. The devil always comes. Satan, when he came to Eve, and he's amazing. Satan comes and he goes, hey, Eve, did Apple phone, hold it, please. Did he really say you will die? Everything Satan says is distorting the truth. He is not the author of truth, but he will distort the truth. Satan might come to you and say, are you really blessed? I mean, look around you. Can I be the devil today? It's easy for me to be the devil. Are you really blessed? Think about it, marketer. Do you look around yourself? Are you really blessed? Do you think you're blessed? Come on, look at you. Look at your children. Look at yourself. Look at what you drive. Look at where you live. Look at the money you earn. You don't earn much. Look at this. And I'm just being negative. But do you think you're really blessed? What is he doing? He's contradicting the word of God. Hey, can I say, I'm preaching the truth, and trust me, we all think like that. I am today speaking that. So you think you're handsome. I mean, look at the hair. You should have been, seriously, in the corporate world, you should have been way up there. Look at, please hear my heart, I'm just picking, right? At your age, you should be there. Look at where you are. Are you really blessed? Is there a point in trusting God? Give up. And go and do something in your own strength. Don't you realize you have to feed your wife who cooks mean beef curries? Don't you realize you've got to look after your children? What are you doing with your life? Look at your age. At your age, according to the world, Babylonian wisdom, you should be here having this, 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 and this. If you look at yourself, what you have is this, this, and this. Grow up. Come on, you're deceiving yourself. Who am I? I think I'm being a good devil today. That's how the devil is stealing our joy and our peace and our purpose and our calling. Brock said, I can be intimidating. That's my son. I hope I'm not being intimidated. I'm just picking. Because a lot of us, you know, teenagers go through the crisis of identity of, oh, you know, I'm not beautiful enough. And the teenage guy goes, I need to have bigger muscles. That's what's going to attract girls. That ain't going to attract the girls. I know some wives are looking at their husbands, you know. This ain't going to attract girls. Well, mind you, they might attract it, but it won't last long. And middle-aged men, apparently I'm in my middle age, according to statistics. I'm a middle-aged crisis man. What lies are these? Come on. That's a lie. Yes, I'm middle-aged, but I'm not in crisis. We sleep at night and go, oh no, I should have had that by now. And then I will say, when you're in your 50s, 60s and 70s, you're lying in bed and go, I missed my opportunity. Ooh, that's a good one. I missed my opportunity, so I can't smile. I can't be permission giving. You know, if I'm your age, I can't be permission giving. Oh, you know, oh, she celebrated, you know, her son's birthday, you know, whatever, achievements. And he goes, oh, I've celebrated my wedding anniversary, 10. Wait. It's just going to get miserable. Why? Because your spirit is miserable. But my Bible is very clear. It says, I could pick on my father-in-law because he's my father-in-law. And I got the microphone, so I can say anything. Right? But you see, you see, I'm saying, the Bible says in Psalm 1, those who planted by the riverside, hallelujah, your leaves shall not wither. Amen. I pray, Dan Ogle and Pam Ogle, that your leaves shall not wither. I pray, Don and Francie. I pray, Margaret and Lionel. I pray for the pastoral team. I pray your leaves don't wither. That you will stay green. Who hell might break loose, but you will hold on to Christ. When I had my sickness, one of the names when I was a little kid, I was called diseased. And when I had my sickness, they called me, I was cursed. And I was identifying with disease. But I'm telling you, you are not diseased according to God. So young man, old man, I'm saying it. But young woman, older woman, come on. Let us stand up and rejoice and bless God because He is God. And don't be educated of the Word of God. Be a practitioner of the Word of God. Because so many people are educated with the Word of God. They can quote scriptures better than I do. And that's not the point. My point is, can you stand and celebrate and sing? My God is real. Even in my own life, the last 3 months, I've been going through some heavy, heavy stuff. And this last week, every day I had the devil tell me, is it worth it? Quit. Quit. Almost every day last week, I was in tears. Every day, I'm not preaching to excite you. I want to stand on the truth. The devil kept telling me, every time I went to the office, he said, do you really want to do this? What's the point in this? Quit. What's the point in it? Quit. I'm a father of three. I shouldn't cry. But I'm telling you, life is real. But more so, my Jesus is far more real. He is far more real. He is far more real. He is far more real. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. The devil will say, waste of time, but don't lose hope. I'll share this scripture. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. You know, the enemy has a name. We've talked about it, but let's look at God. Revelation 2, 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I love it. Church, be an overcomer. Being an overcomer is stand on the truth. And say, God, even showing up, I trust in you. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And look at this. I will give you a white stone, and on the stone, a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. God has a new name for you. God has a new name for you. Don't listen to the devil. When we were praying before this morning, someone quoted a scripture, which is an amazing scripture. It's in Proverbs 28 and verse 1. It says, the righteous will be bold as a lion. You are righteous and you are called to be bold. Amen. All those that have anxiety, social anxiety, and all those anxieties, you are made righteous in God. You were clothed with righteousness. And not only that, because you are righteous. And he's saying in Proverbs 21, 8, verse 1, that the righteous shall be bold as a lion. Hallelujah. We are called to be bold, church. We are called to be bold. Walk in that bold identity. So how can I change my name back where God called me to be? By the blood of Jesus. Apply the blood of Jesus every day, not just the day of salvation, every day. Walk in the salvation God has given you and walk with the name of Christ, because at his name, every knee bows and every tongue confess. Amen. Culture is outside influence, telling us to compromise. Christ is inside us. And because Christ is inside us, he calls us, you are bold because of my identity in you. Can I have the worship team, please? Hallelujah. Each one of you, I don't know what pain you're holding to. What are you identifying yourself with? Some of you may be identifying like Naomi. All you saw was pain. All you see is pain. All you're surrounded is pain. Failure. Unanswered prayers. And all those things. And you're saying, no, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me Mara because I am broken. Call me Mara, the bitter one. Because all I have is misery. But can I tell you today that God in the book of Ruth, he restored Naomi through her daughter-in-law Ruth and Boaz. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of healing. Now, I don't know when God will heal you, but I tell you, even if you die in sickness, that's okay, because your heart is healed, you are saved, and you're washed with the precious blood of Jesus, and you're going to go see your Father. Don't allow your faith to be limited because of your natural circumstances. Trust in God. Trust in God. Stand in the identity. Stand in the identity of God and say, I don't know what to say, but He will put the right words in me. Yes, I might be a failure right now, but I stand on the truth who is a victor. He overcomes sin and death. So I stand on the word of God. And I know, as Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous shall be bold. Turn to your neighbor and say, the righteous shall be bold. Say, you are bold because you are righteous. You are bold because you are righteous. You are bold, and you have a bold identity that you belong to the Son of the Most High. You and I are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's my identity. Hallelujah. Oh God, I pray. Can we just open our hearts just to the Holy Spirit? Father, I pray that you will minister to us. Would you mind standing your feet, please? We'll just sing a chorus here. But as we sing this, look, I want to say this. Please don't carry on with a misidentity or a wrong identity. And if you can take some time as they sing this chorus, just a few minutes, as they sing this chorus, why don't you take some time and think about, where does my identity lie? Is there anything that is hindering me, stopping me from moving in God? Maybe some of you identify yourself as fathers who failed. That's not your identity. Some of you may identify yourself as mothers who failed. That's not your identity. You may feel like that, but that's not your identity. Maybe there are some businessmen who say, or women who say, I failed in my business. That's not your identity. Maybe you look at yourself in the mirror and go, look at me, I don't look good. That's not your identity. So I want you to really think about, what are those identities? And I want you to today pray, God, break that out of my life. Break it out of my life. Set me free. And if you need prayer, be bold. We're talking about boldness. You need prayer over this identity crisis, identity issues. The pastoral team will pray for you as we sing this chorus. But be bold to do that. Amen. Come on, team.